So good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Webinar Wednesday from Sight and Sound Technology for this Wednesday, the 2nd of December. My name is Stuart Lawler, and my colleague Carl Braley is back with us as always. Great to have Carl with us. Now, today we are joined by our colleagues from Blazy Engineering. And Blazy Engineering have been doing something that I personally find really interesting, and that is that they have created a set of scripts to help us use Microsoft Teams. There's no doubt that in the last 7, 8, 9 months, where many of us have been working remotely, Teams has exploded. And indeed, I was reading some stats about this earlier on today. In March of this year, Teams had 75 million users per day. And at the end of October of this year, they have recorded 115 million users. So you can see these things are expanding, and that's only going to get bigger. With that, of course, the service has had to change a lot. And indeed, I sometimes think every day I run Teams, it feels somewhat different, doesn't it? So from, a screen reading perspective, there can be some challenges, and Blazy Engineering have been doing lots of work in the background to help to mitigate some of these challenges, and we're going to hear about that in the next hour or so. Of course, we'd love to hear your comments and questions, and you can do so on the Zoom meeting platform today by typing in the chat window, by pressing Alt and H on Windows, or activating the chat button on your mobile phone. And if you are typing in the chat, please make sure to send to all participants and attendees. You can similarly, if you wish to speak to us, and we will make sure to take plenty of time for questions, you can raise your hand by pressing Alt and Y, or activate the raise hand button if you're using a mobile app. And Carl will be keeping an eye on the raised hands, and we'll make sure to go to people at certain times during the meeting. Now, before I introduce our colleagues from Blazy Engineering, let me say that later on today, on this session, we are going to announce the 6 contestants who will be joining us for the Webinar Wednesday Big Christmas Quiz, which takes place 2 weeks from today on Wednesday, the 16th of December. So if you registered and you're here, stay where you are, because before the end of the session, we are going to announce the 6 names of the lucky people who will be joining us today. But now I'm delighted to welcome from Blazy Engineering, Mr. Kelvin Duncan. And Kelvin, I'm maybe just going to start by asking you to tell us a little bit about Blazy, and then I might just ask you to talk to us about who else has joined from your company today. So you're very welcome, first of all, and thanks for coming along. I know Blazy Engineering have been doing this stuff for, I guess, in my mind, what seems for a very long time, because I've heard of you guys for a long time. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Thanks, Stuart. It's a real pleasure to be here today, actually. I'm getting quite a kick out of this, to be honest. We've been around, like you say, for a very long period of time now, working in sort of different capacities and so on. But what we do currently is, and for some time now, we've been focusing very heavily on sort of service-orientated work, and in the scripting line in particular. And we've been working really, really hard to, you know, up the profile of people with a visual impairment, to be able to, so that they can play on a level playing field with their colleagues at work, and that they can actually, you know, take part, even when you know, for home users, so that they can actually take part with, you know, just socially. And Teams, you know, forms a really big part of that, I think, and has, as you say, has exploded over the last few months.
What's the challenge like in creating a set of scripts? And I know that, you know, we're going to hear a lot about the scripts in a little while, but what's the challenge like creating a set of scripts for something like Teams, which is almost changing certainly every couple of days?
It is really, really difficult. I'm not going to lie to you. Teams is, for want of a better word, an absolute beast when it comes to its size, its complexity, how often it's changing. And I've brought my colleague Neil Burge with me here today, who's worked on the Teams scripts tirelessly over the last few months to try and get it all shipshape and get it really working well. And it's no mean feat, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, we're looking forward to hearing all about it, Kelvin. So thank you very much for coming along, and to your colleagues, Ollie, Neil Burge and Neil McDuff. We're going to hear from all the guys, I think, during the session today. So, Kelvin, I'm happy to pass it over to you. And we are looking forward to your presentation.
Brilliant. Thanks so much. Right. What we've decided to do, as you guys can well imagine, presenting a live solution, presenting a live solution over an actual Zoom call is quite difficult to do, and also doesn't really help us with any sort of structure to what we're trying to deliver. So we've broken this down into 5 videos, only very short ones. Don't panic. We're not going to keep you here for a massive amount of time. But my colleague, Ollie, who's one of our trainers, has put together some videos which really cherry pick the real benefits to teams and to the solution that we've put in place. And, with the best will in the world, we take an awful long time. The training for teams alone is usually around about 6 hours, the scripted solution, and actually getting, just all the native functionality and everything can take that length of time in a business setting. So with the limited amount of time that we have on hand, we thought splitting it down into 5 shorter videos with an opportunity for questions afterwards, after each section, just so that it sort of helps us manage and make sure that you guys don't forget any of the questions you might have. We thought that might be quite useful, and I hope that that'll be beneficial to everyone. With that in mind, Neil, would you mind kicking off the first video there for us?
Built-in keystrokes and the work Freedom Scientific have done with JAWS, there is a lot of really good existing features and functionality in Teams. For example, various keystrokes to navigate to the different tabs and buttons, and JAWS will do things like automatically announcing when someone has joined a call. But part of what we have done is to build on these further to give you some additional reassurance and also help point you in the right direction, because navigating Teams is not always intuitive. One example of this is switching panels. Microsoft have included Control plus 1 to 6 to change between the various panels in Teams, so you can access chats, calendar, calls, files, and so on. When you do this, JAWS announces the content of the panel you have moved to. We found that in some cases this could be misleading, as it did not always announce what you would expect, and sometimes you accidentally pressed the wrong number key and so did not go to the panel you wanted to. With our scripts, we jump in the middle of this so that when you press Control plus 6, for example, which on my computer takes me to the Files panel, it announces which panel I have moved to.
Files panel. Word combo boxes cannot be accessed with standard Dragon commands. Docs modified 4H at Goali underline Antony's OneDrive first row 1 out.
As you can hear, JAWS immediately told me that I'd moved to the Files panel, so I knew I had gone where I'd wanted to, and then it started announcing the content of what was in that panel afterwards. This has just given me the extra confidence that I have moved where I wanted to, and I haven't accidentally pressed the wrong number, for example, when pressing the keystroke. Another place where we've added additional speech instructions is when creating a new chat with Control plus N. Normally when you press Control plus N to start a new chat, JAWS announces that you're in an edit box and that you should type a name or email address. But there is actually additional functionality in this box to allow you to name this chat as well, and this is not announced.
To colon edit, enter name / email / group or tag, type in text, press right arrow for more options.
As you heard, with our scripts, when I press Control N, it announces that I'm in an edit and I can add a people in it with email addresses or names, but it also told me that if I press right arrow, I can get more options. So I'm going to do that now.
Create a new group chat button collapsed. To activate, press spacebar.
So I found the additional options button and I'm going to press spacebar on it.
Space. Type a group name edit. Type in text.
So here I've been put in an edit where I can give a meaningful name to my new chat.
Training.
And now when I press tab, it will move me back into the to edit.
To colon edit, enter name / email or tag, type in text.
Now I can invite people to this new chat. This has allowed me to give a meaningful name to my chat rather than just having the list of participants. This is functionality that is always in Teams, but unless you know it is there, and more to the point, unless you can remember that it is there and how to navigate to it, you would not be able to use it.
Okay, so that's the end of the first video. And I think what we're trying to highlight here is that, you know, that there has been a great deal of movement in terms of the accessibility of Teams as a whole. And I think Freedom Scientific have done a fantastic job of getting the general functionality and sort of the long form of navigating Teams to be fairly accessible. But I think we can all agree, those of you that use Teams, you are generally speaking under a huge amount of pressure when using Teams, whether it's because you're taking part in, you know, because you're taking part in a call which you have to be on at a certain time, or whether it's because you are taking part in a participant in a sort of a messages with multiple participants. There's all sorts of reasons why you're under pressure, and navigating Teams in a long form is just not technically usable. And so you know, navigating the long form is a very good way of actually getting an impression of how Teams actually looks and what the structure is like. And therefore, it's important for us to not exclude that functionality from our scripts. We need to keep that included, and particularly when you're using Teams for the first time or you're a bit of a newbie at using this type of technology, it's important to get a real feel for what's going on. And what Ollie was saying during that video is that, you know, a lot of this stuff is sort of left to chance, that you're just going to tab around the screen or sort of try to find your way around these things. But we really have worked hard to try and make sure that you can move around effectively, efficiently, and really use all the functionality. I think at this time, it was only a short first video, but I think it'd be useful if we just throw it open for a few questions, if anybody has raised hands at this point.
Okay, thanks, Kelvin. And just one thing I didn't know about those extra chat functions, so it's great to go off and play with those afterwards. So just a quick opportunity for anyone who might want to ask any initial questions based on what you've seen so far. If you'd like to raise your hand or you'd like to type in the chat window, you're welcome to do that. Alt and H for chat, Alt and Y if you want to raise your hand. And I don't know, Carl, if we have anyone waiting.
Yeah, we've got a couple. Liz Silver has asked, if I'm sent a link to a Teams meeting, I find that I try to inactivate it using return or various options with JAWS and the mouse pointer, etc. Then nothing happens and I need to get my support worker to click on the link. Is that normal?
I think I'll field that one if you guys don't mind, because I have the same problem with the amount of calls that I have to handle every day. In fact, you should be able to access that link and with the enter key, but on my machine, certainly that isn't working right now. And the way around that is by listing the elements with insert and F5, picking the option which says join meeting, and then hitting enter a second time. That generally tends to work for me. Ollie, do you have anything to add to that?
I think Ollie's muted. Oh, he's like,
yeah, no, I was, sorry. No, that's part of it. Another thing that people don't realize sometimes is these emails that have the links to Teams meetings in are editable. So if you arrow down and it says you're on the link, if you press enter, all it's doing is putting a carriage return in. So if you try doing a right arrow and then enter, it should help as well.
Yeah, and I'll just add my little top tip for that. And it's funny, there's always five or six different ways to do everything. But I've had the very same problem as Liz, and I have pressed Shift F10 on the link and arrowed down to, I think it says open link.
That's and a good shot, Stuart. That's really
good. Also copy the link. So yeah, there's three or four ways to get to the same point. So thanks, Liz, for the question. Do we have anyone else, Carl?
Yeah, do the scripts work with MS Live Event in addition to MS Teams?
These scripts are related to Teams only. So
that'll be no
that'll
then.
Be a no. That'll be a no.
Brilliant, thank you. Kawal has asked, will the scripts be put into the new version of JAWS, or will they be separate, and will we have to buy the scripts? Lots of organisations use Teams, and it would be useful if JAWS can have the scripts built in.
Well, I can't speak for Freedom Scientific, but from our perspective, this is a product that we're selling as an enhancement to Teams, to the functionality which is already there. I mean, don't get me wrong, you do have a level of accessibility for Teams out the box, which is improving, and you'll note that in JAWS 2021, they've added a few pieces of functionality in there. But what we're aiming to do with this script set is not to simply make it accessible, but we're actually looking to improve the usability massively and actually help you guys play on a level playing field with colleagues and friends to make sure that you can also take part in these types of things. So the answer to that question is no, not at the moment, and yes, there will be a charge.
Brilliant, thank you. Just another quick one, Mr. Linux Lions. Are there any performance impacts on the computer running the scripts?
That's a fantastic question, actually. And it actually reminds me on something I meant to mention at the beginning, but given that I had a lot on my mind at the time, I just slipped my mind. There is some performance issues, not with our scripts necessarily, but I think you guys will find in general that the technology on which Teams is built is a sort of a browser-based type technology, and that there is some sort of lag there with using Teams in general. But I think that the difficulty for people like Neil and the rest of our development team is in trying to make sure that we harvest the information that we need for our scripts and produce them, but produce them at the right time. So it's all about timings, because if the information is not actually there, it's very difficult to make sure that we produce it, you know, we produce it quickly and efficiently. But as I'll mention a few times throughout this webinar, our solution is being sold on a sort of subscription type model, and therefore it's improving all the time. And what you can hear on these videos is a massive improvement, and we intend to keep improving the speed and the accuracy with which the scripted solution works. Neil B, do you have anything to add to that in terms of the speed?
The speed? I mean, we do see a slight difference in some navigation where we're processing some information, but the effect is pretty small, and we're constantly refining to make sure that is kept to a bare minimum. So,
and I think what you'll find as well is that where there is a bit of a lag, if you had to use the long form of navigation, you will find that it's actually way more efficient to do it that particular way. So if we press a keystroke, for example, which gets some information for you immediately without having to move your cursor all over the screen, without having to move tab around the screen, that time is, it might seem like there's a sort of a half second delay, but that delay is much shorter than if you had to navigate around the screen.
Brilliant, thank you. There's a cost. There's a few guys asking how much.
When is it immediately is the answer. And in terms of cost, as with all of these things, it's slightly complicated. What we'd hoped to do for everyone on this webinar today was to say that we are ready to sell the scripts straight after we hang up this call, but that we can also offer it to you guys on a subscription basis at £200 a year for 3 years. So you would look to pay £600 up front for the solution. But just to be very clear, that if you're in a business space, so if you're working at this and if you're in a particular organization, to implement these scripts can often take a lot more time, and therefore there'll be a sort of a charge on a sort of on an individual basis, person for organization for organization, which we're happy to handle after the call.
Hey, brilliant, perfect. Thank you. We'll just have one more, I think. 1 second. This is from Liz Silver. My workplace just expected me to start using Teams. I find it really confusing. And when I contacted Sight and Sound at the beginning of lockdown in March, I think I was directed to check on the Microsoft site. Is Sight and Sound running training sessions for JAWS users with Teams? Stuart.
I'm sure.
Thanks, Stuart. Carl. Thanks for throwing that one to me. I mean, so Liz, there is a webinar. It's on our podcast page and on our YouTube channel that we did on the 15th of July on Microsoft Teams. Now, just to sort of say, Teams has evolved so much even since July that we probably need to do this again. And we probably will do it again in early 2021. Obviously, there is training available from Sight and Sound. If you want specific training on Microsoft Teams, that is costed. So just give us a shout about that. But I would first of all recommend you check out what we have on our YouTube page or on podcast page, because that session may help you get started.
Brilliant. Let's just have a quick look. Right, John Paul Anderson's asked, can I have the details to add to the work placement assessment? So that's, I guess that's just for him to, we'll put up some contact details for you, John Paul, at some point, so you can have those out of the chat. Kowal's asked again, can these scripts be bought through Access to Work and will they pay?
Yes, the answer to that's yes. We've got many users who are using these scripts through Access to Work. And just to add to, I want to say, was it Liz? Was that the lady's name?
Yeah.
Liz, just having your employee just sit you down in front of this and just expecting you just to be able to work it, I think is probably something that a lot of people are familiar with. But that comes down to you having the this is why something like today's webinar is so important, because you have the information to hand. And I'm sure that if you sit down with your employer and explain what you're actually facing here, that they'd be more than happy to help you out to either get some training from Sight and Sound, or get these scripts from Access to Work, or get some dedicated training from Blazy, or whatever it is that you need to be able to progress with this, because it is pretty difficult to use. That's it for now. I mean, did we want to move on to this next video? Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah, that'll we'll get to the rest of you guys in a minute. Yeah, that's fine.
We will come back to questions.
We've got, just to sort of lay it out a bit for you guys, we've got four more videos to come, which are sort of just coming under just 15 minutes in total. And we've designed it in this particular way so that we can take as many questions as possible, because there are a lot of you on the call today and we welcome all questions. Neil, can you drop into video number two, please?
Of course, yeah. This is concentrating on the chat features.
The chat panel in Teams is a really useful function, but it can be the bane of some people's lives. Some organisations we have seen use it all the time, and you can get inundated with chats and struggle to keep up. We've done a lot of work to create various keystrokes and shortcuts to help use the chat panel more efficiently, and here are a few examples. Let's say I need to get a password for something from a colleague. First, I think I'm in the right chat with them, but I want to make sure. But also, I want to make sure I'm not in a group chat with anyone who shouldn't have access to that password. We have created a shortcut to announce the participants in the currently selected chat. To do this, we press Ctrl+Shift+I.
Available Neil Burge.
As you can hear, I'm in a chat with just my colleague Neil, and it's also announced his status as available, so I know he's free. Now I'm sure I'm in the right chat, I can ask him for the password.
Sending dot dot dot. Message sent. Neil Burge is typing. Message from Neil Burge. Yes, it is BFJ5Z letter 69 number.
Now, we've heard the reply come in from Neil, but the password did not sound like it was straightforward, so I'm going to check it again.
Message from Neil Burge. Yes, it is BFJ5Z letter 69 number, sent today at 16:50. Press enter to explore message content, then use escape to shift focus back to the message.
So that really isn't very clear and I'm not sure. So this is going to cause an issue. Natively in Teams, there is no way to navigate the text in a chat message by character or word. But with our scripts, we can virtualize any message by pressing Ctrl, Alt, and V.
Message from Neil Burge. Yes, it is B.
What this has done is opened up the results viewer in JAWS, which is a virtualization window. It's put in here the text from the message that we just heard. Here I can press Home to go to the beginning.
Home.
And I can then navigate with left and right arrow or control left and right arrow as normal.
It is B. Explain. At J. 5Z.
Now I've found the Zulu password, I can even select it and then copy it.
Explain B. B I explain at subj 5z at sit 9 number selected. Copied selection to clipboard.
And now when I'm done with the results viewer, I can just press escape to close it.
Escape. Neil Burge vertical bar Microsoft Teams. Two chats with new messages.
Something you may have noticed when my colleague Neil was writing his message to me was that Jaws announced that he was doing this. This is an additional feature we've put in to help you know if a conversation is going to flow and you're going to be talking to someone immediately, or if you've sent a message but no one is replying. A couple of other really useful features we've included: a quick reference to your message history and checking for unread chats. When you're in a chat in Teams, you can navigate the chat history with the up and down arrow through messages. But with our scripts, you can also press Alt plus the number keys to get Jaws to read out the most recent messages. So Alt plus 1 will read the most recent message you have either sent or received. Alt plus 2 will read the one before that, and so on. So if I press Alt plus 1 now in this chat.
Yes, it is BFJ5Z letter 69 number Neil Burge 1650.
It's read out the last message that Neil sent to me. And Alt plus 2.
Smiley, do you have the password? 1648.
It's read out the previous messages from me. This is a really useful function to quickly check what's happening, especially in a chat where lots of messages are coming in at once. As I said, we've also added a way to check your unread chat. Unread chats can move further and further down your list of chats in Teams, and they can be really hard to find. If I want to check how many chats I have with unread messages, I can now press Ctrl-Alt-U.
To unread, Jaws 2021-1638, Neil colon, have you tried Hey Sharky yet? Teams training 1619, Barry colon, sure, I'll send it tomorrow.
As you heard, Jaws announced that I had two chats with unread messages, and then it proceeded to read out the name of the chat or the participants in that chat, the person who'd sent the most recent message, and the most recent message for each of those chats. This is a really useful way to know exactly how many chats you have with unread messages and gives you an idea of what those are. I can even double tap this keystroke to move directly to the most recent chat with unread messages, so I don't have to navigate there myself.
All right. Well, for me, one of the when I listened to that video for the first time, I was thinking about the things I really enjoy in using our scripts. I absolutely found it so difficult to navigate chats by going back through to the history and then coming back to the edit field, then writing, then coming back to the history, then perhaps having to read something out during that line, then coming back down again and repeating this process again and again and again. And that's something that I miss terribly from previous things like Skype for Business, where we had written scripts to allow for you to speed dial the chats by pressing Alt 1, 2, 3, 4, going backwards through the history. And I absolutely love that feature. Also, we find, I mean, we use Teams, Neil, myself, and other Neil and Ollie and the rest of the guys at Bayesy, we use Teams as a staple in the office. And very often, 3, 4, 5 of us might be on a chat at any one given time. And having that notification, the typing sound that plays to indicate that somebody's actually writing back to you, as well as having the quick message to say that, you know, so-and-so is writing back to you, it is super useful, and it really helps you not interrupt the flow of the conversation. Because I think as a visually impaired person, you know, obviously visually you get the marker to sort of show you that, you know, that somebody's actually writing, and it just helps the flow of the conversation. But when you can't see and you can't sort of access that information immediately, you end up interrupting, and it just doesn't have the same sort of professional feel as if you're using it with signs. And that's one of my favorite things there. Would we like to take any more questions at this point?
Yeah, let's have a look at the hands. I'm sure there are more people wanting to ask. Really interesting so far. Very interesting. So let's go back to Carl, see how we're getting on with raised hands or chats.
I'm wearing on, my computer stopped.
Lauren Berger, if you can unmute yourself.
I just need to activate the unmute
button. Yes. All yours, Lauren.
How are you?
Hey. How you doing? I like this, these webinars. Audio now great. Unmuted. Very alert. Informative.
Audio now muted alert.
I just wanted
to. Audio now.
I don't know why my screen reader is doing that.
Speech mode off.
I just wanted to know if Teams, I've tried Teams on the desktop and for some reason it doesn't work for me anymore. I can't, it's not allowing me to sign in and smoothly getting out. So is there a way I could do it online or does it have to be mobile? Is it not really made for the desktop that much? I mean, I don't know how to.
Sorry, are you asking? Sorry, go on, Stuart.
I think the question, if I'm not mistaken, is that Lauren, you're saying you're unable to access the Teams client and you're wondering, can you run it from the web? Is that
correct? Correct.
Okay. So I know there is a teams.microsoft.com. My understanding is some of the functionality is restricted. But Kelvin, I don't know if your scripts support that platform.
Our scripts don't currently support that platform. But one thing we're really hoping for is that you guys might give us a steer on these types of things, that you guys might actually sort of help us. Because the only way we're going to be able to really improve our offering is by taking advice from the people who use the scripts. And one of my colleagues in the office is particularly keen that we get this working online. One of the difficulties of doing that is what Stuart said, which is that there is restrictive functionality online, but also a lot of large organizations block you being able to use it that way. So, or certainly if it's not actually blocked by security, actually insist that it is used via the client. So we started with the client, and therefore the answer at this time is that our scripted solution won't work with the browser-based version, but we certainly take on any sort of comments, and if enough people are interested, that's something that we could absolutely make accessible.
Okay, great.
How can I use it on the desktop right now? Can I sign in and make sure that it gets signed and make sure that I can get it used on a desktop again? How could I? Is that possible? How I can do that?
I'm not totally sure why it's not working on the desktop in the first place, but you know, you sound like I don't want to be presuming, but it sounds like you're coming in from the States right now. Do you have anybody that could sort of support you to get signed in and just get logged into the sort of the main desktop app? And then at that point, if you'd like to take advantage of our scripts, you could contact us. Is there anybody that can help you with that?
Well, there is. We do have the Microsoft Disability Answer Desk. Maybe I can ask them. Maybe I can call them.
Possibly.
I would definitely.
Yeah, and I would definitely say that there's no reason why. So there's no reason. What you're explaining, you know, you're saying that it stopped working for you. There's no reason why it should do that. If you've got your version of JAWS installed and you've got the client installed, you should be able to log in. But that process, you know, there could be something wrong with that. And if you get some support to do that first step, then after that, you can perhaps get involved with the scripted solution.
All right, that's what I'll do.
Thanks for your question. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm not muted, am I? No, one second. Geetha?
You just need to unmute yourself, Geetha.
Yes, thank you. No, I just wanted to say in response to Lauren's question that in order to use the desktop client, she would need an Office 365 account, whereas it's free on the phone, on iOS, the Teams app is free to use, but on the desktop, you can install and use it only if you have an Office 365 account.
Oh, that's a very valid point. I didn't even take that into consideration because it's just something that we have in the office.
If I could jump in there, there are now personal licenses available for Teams, so you can run a desktop client without a full business account.
Okay, good to know. And I think that was probably brought on due to COVID because they realized everybody was on Zoom. They wanted to get people back. Okay, thanks for that, Neil, and thanks, Geetha, for your point.
Got a couple of chats. Kamal again. How are these scripts distributed via stick download? If you lose a copy of the scripts, can you get the scripts downloaded again, or is it a one and only download?
No, you can have the scripts as many times as you need them. We keep all of our script sets because we've got numerous script sets to take account of different versions and so on, which we keep on file at Blazy, and we'd be happy to provide you with them as many times as you need it. Sorry, I missed the first part to that question, Carl, actually. So,
just how are they distributed?
Well, usually, I mean, we can email them out to you. It's probably the easiest way to get them to you. They're only a very small set of files, thousands and thousands of lines of code, but actually in terms of actual size limits, it should be able to go across an email quite easily.
Brilliant, thank you. John Paul, I know it's not JAWS need per se, but can teams stack the chat in one column rather than two?
I think that's a question for Ollie to answer, because I'm not actually sure about that, to be honest.
Shall I jump in on that one? I don't think there's betting that would allow that to happen, particularly when running. You can't sort of adjust the size of those panels that would sort of force it to be a single column. And particularly running a screen reader, Microsoft have this lovely feature that refreshes and resizes the window to maintain the accessibility interface, which means that any settings that we sort of could force from that would be reset every time that it decides that it needs to go. So no, unfortunately, with that one, I'm afraid you can't.
I knew there was a reason why we brought you along, Neil.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry. Love you, Neil, really. I have a question from Paul Clayton. I often have to attend meetings where there are many participants. It is extremely distracting when JAWS announces people who have joined and left the call. Have the scripts done anything to enable a user to modify this setting?
That's a really good question. I love that feature that it tells me that. But I find it quite distracting that you don't know who is and isn't on the call, because obviously visually you get a really good representation of who's on that call, who you're dealing with. But I can completely appreciate, Paul, that you might find that distracting when, you know, JAWS is chatting away. I would, if you're not interested in sort of having sort of speech feedback at that point, you could always turn the JAWS speech off at that point, using the insert space command at that point. But I don't think we've taken account of anything like that in our scripts, Neil, have we?
That is in there, yeah. We've not highlighted that in any of our stuff so far. But yeah, we have got a keystroke which will silence all of those notifications of people sending chat messages and joining and leaving, so that you get the speech coming out. The tricky bit is remembering to turn it back off again.
Okay, well, there you go. So great. So we do have that as an option.
Yeah, he's just come back with, it's great, but when you're in a call of over 120 participants,
no, you're right,
it can cause problems. Obviously, you've got people popping in and out. It would drive you up the...
No, you're absolutely right about that, Paul. And that's why people like, you know, Neil have put that type of thing in there.
Brilliant. I have one from Stephen. Sorry, I may be jumping the gun, but can you read messages in the JAWS viewer on the Teams tab, Control-3, in the same way you read the chat messages in JAWS viewer? This was a problem I raised with Ollie in previous versions of your script, but it sounds like this might have been fixed.
Hi, Steve. Nice to hear from you. Yes, after you raised it, it's something we worked on, and now the virtualization works in the same way in the Teams panel as it does in the chat panel, so you should be able to get into those exactly the same way.
Excellent.
Okay. This just comes back to what I was saying before, is that we really rely on all of your feedback to make this a really good product, and also that's why the subscription model works really well, because you, generally speaking, if you were to purchase as a sort of a standalone product with upgrades, you would have to, you know, to get it, to take advantage of all the new things that are coming down the pipeline, you would have to continually pay for, upgrade after upgrade after upgrade. Whereas, Steve, you can completely get the latest version of our scripts on your machine, and you can take advantage of that feature that we've put in place for you.
Excellent. I think that's it for the minute. Back to you guys.
Brilliant. Okay. So where are we? So we're on video number 3 now, Neil, if you wouldn't mind.
Of course.
Calls and meetings in Teams are another key area that most of us need to use on a daily basis. A lot of the basic functionality required is already there natively, especially in simple calls. But we again have added some key features, especially in meetings, to make life easier. Before, you saw that with our scripts, you can press Ctrl-Shift-I to make JAWS announce the list of participants in a chat. We have followed this through into meetings and calls as well. By pressing Ctrl-Shift-I when in a meeting or a call, JAWS will put focus on the list of participants.
Ollie Anthony, press space to view contact card, do not disturb.
And now I can arrow down through the list.
Barry Webb muted, press enter for more actions, press space to view contact card in a call, 2 of 2. Ollie Anthony, press space to view contact.
If I want to add someone to a call, I can do this by pressing Control Shift and double tapping the I.
Invite someone, edit, type in text.
This has moved me to an edit where I can add new people by typing their names and pressing enter. At any point, I can move back to the list of participants by pressing Ctrl-Shift-I again.
Ollie Anthony, press space to view contact card, do not disturb.
Those of you who have used Teams before may have noticed that if someone external to your organization joins a call, then they are put into a waiting room until you let them into the meeting.
Neil Burge entering lobby.
So here we can hear that my colleague Neil has joined this call, but he's been put into the waiting list. We have created a list box where you can list everyone who is in the lobby currently. You can access this by pressing Control L.
Waiting in lobby dialog. Neil Burge outside your organization. 1 of 1. To move to items, use the arrow keys.
So Neil is the only person in the lobby at the moment. If there was more people, I would be able to arrow up and down through the list to find the person I wanted. I could then accept them into the meeting by pressing Alt A or reject them by pressing Alt R. Alternatively, I can just press enter on their name and it will admit them.
Enter. Microsoft Teams, main window page, region. Ollie Anthony, press space to view contact card.
Hi, Ollie.
Hi, Neil. Glad you could join us. If you are leading a talk or a training session, for example, in Teams, then people may have questions. And if they do, they can raise their hand to let you know. Unfortunately, it's very difficult to get to this information efficiently with JAWS normally. And most people end up having to have a spotter on their meetings. With our script, you can press Ctrl-Alt-H and it will open a JAWS list box with a list of all the people who currently have their hands up in the meeting.
Raised hands dialog. Neil Burge, 1 of 1. To move to items, use the arrow keys.
So now I know that Neil has his hand raised, so he must have a question. If there was more people, I would be able to arrow through the list to see who was there.
Escape.
Originally, there was no keystroke to end a call in Teams, meaning you either had to wait until everyone had left the meeting, or you had to close Teams entirely with Alt-F4. We made a Control-Enter keystroke, so you'd be able to take back control here and end a call whenever you wanted to.
Alert. Leaving dot dot dot. Sync. JAWS scripts chat.
Microsoft has recently introduced a new meeting experience into Teams, and this includes a new keystroke, Control-Shift-B, to end a call. However, not everyone has access to this new meeting experience, so we've continued to put our Control-Enter keystroke into both the old-style Teams and the new meeting experience, so anyone moving from one to the other doesn't have to learn a new keystroke.
Right, well, I think that's sort of fairly self-explanatory. And for me, you know, I find being able to admit people into the lobby like that very useful. And also, I think a lot of our customers that we've spoken to have been really excited by being able to actually spot their own raised hands queue of people. I don't think there's much more to be said about that, really, unless anybody else has questions at this stage.
I just really want to echo the whole lobby thing. It frustrated me for many months, so much so that when I used to set up meetings in Teams, I used to switch off the lobby, and that's an extra step when you're creating the thing. And if you forget to do that and you send out an invite, it gets very messy. So thank you. If nothing else, thank you for fixing the lobby, because that really was a frustration.
Brilliant.
So we might just see if we have any quick questions at this time.
There may be one I can
And just remember, you can, for people, quick reminder, you can do Alt and H if you want to chat, or Alt and Y if you want to raise your hand.
Well, while you're looking at that, Carl, one other thing to mention at this point is something that Ollie said towards the end of that video, is that, you know, Microsoft have added in a keystroke, a native keystroke to hang up calls. But this is something that was missing for a very long period of time. And I think something that was hugely frustrating to people to be able to try and have to, you know, wait for everybody else to hang up the call or find their way around themselves manually, which could take a really long time. By the time you'd sort of done that, everybody had hung up anyway. And we've obviously kept that keystroke in there, Control plus Enter, because a lot of organizations restrict access to the new meeting experience or like to keep it set up uniformly across the organization. But this just highlights the types of things that we are dealing with. These are very, very small things when you take them on an individual basis, but actually they are what makes Teams accessible or usable or user-friendly. And these are the kinds of things that we're trying to take account of, because with the best will in the world, they do get missed, you know, from a Microsoft type perspective. Have you got anything there now, Carl?
Nicola Dixon. All yours, Nicola.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, Nicola. Yeah, we can, loud and clear.
Right. Apologies, because I've already asked this question lots of times. You know, people who've been on this meeting will be fed up of it. But basically, I don't use Teams an awful lot. But what I do use it for are governor's meetings, because I'm a governor at my son's primary school. And obviously, we're not allowed to have face-to-face meetings at the moment. And it's been decided that we meet over Teams. And the biggest problem I have is actually being able to ask a question. Because although we've got Alt Y in Zoom, there isn't anything in Teams. And I know there isn't because I asked this question before, and I know Sight and Sound went back to Microsoft and Microsoft said, no, there isn't. And I just wondered whether you had put anything into your scripts for just wanting to ask a question.
Well, I know just the man. Ollie is going to tell you how he had handled that.
Yeah, hi. Yes, this is something a lot of people brought up with us. So we did put a keystroke into to raise and lower your hand that tells you the same as kind of muting does, that your hand is raised or lowered as you're doing it. Oh. So we have got that feature in there.
Brilliant. Thank you.
No problem.
Great.
Excellent. Let's just get rid of that one. That one. Paul Clayton, so yours.
Can I check the situation on the admitting people from the lobby? Because at the moment, I sometimes find if I know there's the, if you're in Teams, I can do, I'm prompted by Jaws to say Control Shift Y to enter. And that's fine if there's just one person to admit, but if there are multiple people, it basically, it ties itself up in awful knots and won't actually actually admit anybody. Is there any way to admit multiple people?
Were
you saying you press enter on each name to admit people individually, or can you do a group admission?
There's not currently a way to do a group admission. It's right. Something I've been looking at, but because it's not there in Microsoft either, it's a difficult thing to do. But if we can do that at some point, we will be.
Neil, is that something that from a technical perspective that's wholly impractical to do? Is that something we could add for someone Paul?
I've just jotted it down on my list. Yeah. That is now on the to-do list.
But being able to arrow down and admit multiple people, as it happened, because I work with, that's certainly a great workaround in the meantime.
Envisage that? Sorry, Gary. In terms of, would sort of a blanket admit everybody be what you were looking at, or do you want to be able to select multiple people and not necessarily everybody?
It's hard to say at the moment. I don't have many of these meetings, so at the moment I'm happy with the workaround at the moment. That could change in the future.
Okay.
I'm just thinking, sorry to be jumping in here, Paul, but it's a really good question, and I'm just wondering if there was something where you would hold down control and hit the space bar to a multi-select box.
Multi-select, yeah.
That might be a suggestion.
Okay.
And Paul, you would feel something like this very keenly because you work in a really large organization.
That's right.
And you might have huge amounts of people attending one particular yeah. call, one particular yeah. meeting. But and this is definitely something that we can look into for you guys. Neil will get that looked at. And
we also work with many suppliers as well, with whom we have supply meetings. So if we're organizing sure. it, I say it's not so important now because they've taken ownership back of the meeting. So I just have to turn up.
And I mean, Paul, like you're saying, the control shift Y keystroke, Paul, I mean, it does, it's not 100% infallible. Mm-hmm. And also if for some reason you missed, perhaps somebody was talking or perhaps something distracted you and you missed that was, you know, somebody was actually in the lobby, mm-hmm. having that keystroke to list people in the lobby, just to be sure, you know, that you're not sitting there like Billy Nomates waiting for the call to start,
yeah.
is very useful. Okay, so that's a really good question, Paul. Thanks for that one.
Excellent. We have a few more. Boom, boom, boom. Has Mocha?
Need to just unmute yourself, Hasmukha. By the way, I never got Control Shift and Y to work for me with the lobby, so I'm delighted with this new keystroke.
All right, nothing from you for a moment. David Stevenson, if you could just unmute yourself, please. It's all yours.
Hey, David.
No. All right, we'll just hold off on you. There is a couple of questions in the chat box. Hussein's asked, great presentation, guys. Do the scripts have inbuilt help, such as retrieve the list of hotkeys available, akin to the built-in help available in JAWS?
Do you know what? That is a very good shout, but at the moment the answer to that is no. We're working on... We've got a really good set of documentation which comes out with the scripts, which you can read. Having sort of that immediate type help may well be something that we look into in the future.
Brilliant, thank you. Julie, lovely Julie Napier, hey boys. Once we've received our script files, where do we put them? Going back to basics, you know.
In exactly the same place that you would put the scripts for anywhere else, in the ENU folder. Of your under app data in the usual sort of place for JAWS scripts. we haven't quite come onto that part yet, but there is an additional part to our solution which can also be placed there or on the C drive.
Excellent, thank you. Trevor Lyons, can you give an idea of how many distinct extra features and shortcuts are added by your scripts? Does the product have a name and what version are you up to?
Okay, we're currently running version. Well, actually, that's not very. Neil, what in terms of the version number? I was about to give the team's access version number. But can you tell us in terms of versions?
Version numbers. We label our version numbers to match the team's version that we were developing for at the time that was done. So we actually have, I think, 9 distinct versions at the minute for the last 9 okay. sets of teams. That it was designed to
this is one of the sort of extra complications that we have to deal with, because Teams gets updated very frequently. Some organizations have a sort of a freeze so that they don't take on any more updates, and yet others take on the new updates as and when they come without actually any sort of validation or any sort of testing beforehand. So we have to take account of every single version number. There is an additional part to the solution called Teams Access, which is coming up a little bit later within the next couple of videos. And we'll talk about that that more then. And there was one part there that we've missed to that question, I feel sure. Was that the beginning question?
Oh, it was can you roughly tell us how many features are in the scripts?
There is... In terms of sort of like direct keystrokes that we've put in place, there are so many. But in terms of what's actually under the hood, we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things that we're intervening with. But after this presentation, if you guys would like to take a look at the documentation that we have for Teams, you guys can definitely go through and count them all up, because they're all listed there.
There are 46 separate keystrokes currently.
And the Oracle has spoken. 46.
And where is the document? Is the documentation on your website, Calvin, or is
that... Stuart, if you're happy to do so, because I guess you might be able to publish some notes after this.
Yeah.
This time we hand that over to you to take.
Okay.
To distribute, if you don't mind.
So I can if anybody wants a copy of the documentation, you can read it, I guess, before you buy the scripts. Is that the idea, Calvin? To sort of give yourself a sense of what's in it. So then, if anyone wants a copy of the documentation, let me know.
Yeah, I mean, we've only really had, we're very limited as to what we can actually show during this period of time, but there's just so much there. So please do take a look.
Okay.
Brilliant. We just had Jay Chandran from India. It's just about the recording. It will all go on Sight and Sound website, YouTube page.
Yeah, and actually you can get to that quickly by going to sightandsound.co.uk and clicking on the media link. And it always lists the most recent YouTubes and podcasts, so it will be up there.
And welcome from India.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Right, there are quite a few questions. Oh, Hasmukha was unable to unmute. That's why he hasn't. Sorry, I do apologise. Whichever. By using Alt and A. Well, it should unmute you.
Yeah, that's a funny thing in Zoom at the moment. I know some people have been having that issue, but sorry about that.
Brian Dalton's asked, how does the update features to the scripts work? Can they be downloaded online?
Do you know what? At this point, we haven't got a mechanism for downloading them online. We really do take, and I know this is a very sort of corny cliche, but we really do take great pride in talking to all of our customers. I mean, for example, Paul will tell you, and several other people who've asked questions will tell you that we've had long-standing relationships with them, and we'd like to continue to do so. And I think that the best way to do that is for you guys to stay in touch, get in touch with us through through our office or by calling me directly, and we'll always get you guys updated, because it's the kind of thing you just saw live on the webinar. Steve had something that he'd like us to update. We put it in place. He's asked the question. Ollie's already fed that back to Neil. Neil's got it ready in the scripts and it's ready to go. And we're happy to distribute those for them and actually, put a bit of a personal touch to it. Because I think, I don't know about you guys, but I just like to catch up and make sure that we're all still staying in touch. But if you feel like it's something that you'd like to download, because I'm, for example, if you're talking about somebody being in India, for example, like that, then by all means do email us for now and we'll get the scripts across to you by email. But it's certainly something that we should look into if we're going to distribute them internationally to people that we don't actually know. I think it's a very good shout.
Brilliant. David Stevenson struggled with the Alt A as well. Are there any Braille scripts that you could read messages without being distracted by the speech?
Ollie, have you done much testing with the Braille?
I haven't done yet, no.
Okay, well, that's something that we'll take a look at. And and Neil, you might be able to tell us from a technical standpoint here, but is there any reason why this shouldn't be able to display on a Braille? Why it couldn't be displayed on a Braille display?
No, the Braille should be outputting at least very similar to the speech that's output. So by just switching your speech off and navigating, you should be getting this information back.
The Braille feedback.
Yeah.
And if there's something that you think would be particularly powerful in Braille, then please do raise it with us. Because we're very keen on Braille, and it is a very powerful tool in the workplace when you're trying to limit how much speech is actually coming out at any one given time.
Brilliant, thank you. One more question. Kawal's just asked, can we buy these scripts by paying in installments?
Kawal, why don't you give me I don't think we have a sort of a blanket policy for that, but that if that's something that would be useful to you guys, then maybe we can talk about that on an individual basis.
Excellent. It's back to you guys.
Great. Okay. So, Neil, correct me if I'm wrong, but are we on video number 4 there now?
Video number 4, yes.
That's it. Great.
Practically everything in Teams is accessible to some degree out of the box, but a lot of things involve pressing Control F6, Tab, or arrowing to the right place at the right time, and this is not always intuitive or quick. To help reduce this kind of navigation, we've included some shortcuts to access certain areas and features. First of all, we've given you a keystroke to go directly to Teams from anywhere in Windows. Pressing Control apostrophe means you can go to Teams without having to Alt-Tab through multiple applications to find Teams.
Test chat vertical bar Microsoft Teams. Test chat vertical bar Microsoft Teams. Main window page. Test chat chat content main region. Type a new message. Editing edit.
As you can hear, it's gone directly to Teams and it's told me I'm in the chat panel and in a chat called Test Chat. So I know exactly where I am. Now, throughout Teams, there are various panels and regions, and there are page tabs as well. A good example of this is in the chat panel where we are, where by default, the chat tab is selected, in which you can read your message history, as we have seen. However, there are other tabs, including a files tab, for example, and natively, this can be long-winded to get to. But with our scripts, you can simply press Control T to open a JAWS list box with all the available tabs.
Tab controls dialog, chat dash selected, 1 of 2. To move to items, use the arrow keys.
So now I can arrow to the tab I want and press enter to switch to it.
Files, 2 of 2. Enter. Test chat vertical bar Microsoft Teams, main window page. Test chat chat content main region. Type a new message. Editing edit. Type in text. Word trusted font .doc shared on 38 meters ago sent by Neil Burge. First row 1 out of 1. Press right or...
As you can hear, it switched me to the files tab and started announcing the first file that has been shared in this chat. Another example of an area which is difficult to navigate to is your status, which is tucked away in the user menu. With our scripts, you can check your current status by pressing Control S.
Do not disturb.
So my current status is Do not disturb. If I want to change this, I can do it by pressing Control Alt S, which will open a JAWS list box of the available statuses to me.
Set status dialog, available, 1 of 6. To move to items, use the arrow keys.
Here, I can arrow to the option I want.
Busy, 2 of 6. Do not disturb, 3 of 6. Be right back, 4 of 6.
And press enter to select it.
Status change to be right back. Test chat vertical bar Microsoft Teams. Test chat vertical bar Microsoft Teams. Main window page, files list grid.
As you can hear, it's changed my status, confirmed the new status for me, and then told me where I am in Teams, just as a reminder. And if I want to check my status has changed, I can press Control S again.
Be right back.
Okay. So you'll notice there that when Ollie selected his status as Be Right Back, it took just that little half second to confirm that he was indeed on Be Right Back. But Neil, I hope you don't mind me sort of putting you on the spot here, but I'd just like you to explain to the people on the call how, what your script does to actually make that happen. And that might sort of give you an indication of what you would have to do if the script wasn't there versus using that keystroke. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We actually interact with the system tray icon to change the status to the one that you select. And the time it takes is making sure that we're interacting with the correct item in your system tray to perform that action. In previous iterations, we forced focus through the user menu in the main Teams interface. But once in there, the limited range of information we could pull back meant that all we could do was leave your focus on the selection box and leave you to arrow through and find it yourself, which it took a long time and it wasn't the most satisfactory way of carrying out that action. The alternative is to tab around the screen either jump to the search box at the top with Control E and then tab across to the menu yourself, activate the menu, arrow down to your current status, and then again into the submenu to make the selection. So while it does take a few seconds to make that action for you, it saves 40 seconds versus the manual approach.
And that's just one example of many, many areas where time is saved with the scripts and being able to confirm it yourself with a quick keystroke without ever having left your actual cursor position, I think is really powerful. Any questions at that point before we hit what can only be described as my favorite part of Teams?
Koala's getting overexcited. I do love the sound of these scripts. I want them, please. That's about it for questions at the moment.
Brilliant. That's absolutely fantastic because I've been waiting the whole time to get involved with this area. You see, we have a last video here which has pertains to our addition to Teams, which is called Teams Access. It's a completely standalone application. When I say application, a completely standalone file, if you like, which will allow some additional functionality to help speed your way around some of the problems in Teams. So Neil, if you could play that for us now, and then we can have a little chat about that afterwards.
Imagine I've come back from lunch and I want to check that no one has been trying to reach me while I've been away from my desk. This is a perfect time to use Teams Access. The hotkey for Teams Access is F1, and if I want to quickly check if I have any new activity in Teams, whether that's new chats, missed calls, or any other kind of notification I get in Teams, I can press F1U.
No new activity.
So here Teams Access has told me that I have no new activity, so I can get on and not worry about it. Now, before lunch, I was looking at the Freedom Scientific website to see what was new in JAWS 2021. So I'll go back to doing that.
What's new in JAWS 2021 screen reading software - Google Chrome? JAWS 2021 features heading level 2, picture smart improvements heading level 3. Introduced in JAWS Alert, Neil in the results viewer, to use picture smart.
Now, I heard a Teams message come in, but I didn't quite hear who it was from or what they wanted because I was navigating through the web page and I interrupted the speech. Here, Teams Access can help again. Rather than having to switch to the main Teams application and navigate to the new chat, I can press our hotkey plus L to hear the last message I received.
Chat with Neil Burge. Neil Burge said, "Hi, do you have the password for the test account?"
So my colleague Neil is asking me for a password. By pressing our hotkey plus M, I can reply to this message.
Message to Neil Burge. Teams chat message.
So this has opened a dialogue with an edit for me to type my message.
Short space.
And now I can press enter to send the message.
Password 123. Sent to Neil Burge. What's new in JAWS 2021 screen reading software?
As you can hear, by pressing enter, it sent the message and then it returned me to where I was originally. In this case, the web page. And it's in exactly the same place it was before, so I can continue reading.
A photo acquired from the Pearl camera or a flatbed scanner. F to describe a selected image file alert, or B to describe an image on the Windows clipboard.
Now again, a message has come in and I didn't hear who it was from because I was navigating. So again, I'll press F1L to hear the message.
Chat with Neil Burge. Neil Burge said, "That's great, thanks."
And F1M to reply.
Message to Neil Burge. Teams chat message. Team. Yeah.
And enter to send.
Welcome. Sent to Neil Burge. What's new in JAWS 2021 screen reading software?
And I'm back on the web page again. I'm now going to use our hotkey plus U again, just to check I haven't missed any other messages while I was replying to Neil, as I may have been distracted.
No new activity.
There's no new activity, so I can carry on with my web browsing. Another additional handy feature we've put into Teams Access is actually for Outlook. I can press our hotkey plus U to check Teams notifications, as I've demonstrated, but I can also press our hotkey plus O to check Outlook.
8 and read email messages from Neil Burge development meeting agenda.
So here, Teams Access has told me that I have 8 new emails, and it's told me who the most recent one was from and what the subject line of that email was. This can be a really good way to keep track of new emails coming in throughout the day, and also be a helpful way of keeping track if you're looking for a particular email coming in.
And that is, for me, one of the most powerful things that we've managed to do, which there is a long history behind us actually putting this product in place. But essentially what's happening here is we're actually bypassing the Teams front end, the user interface to Teams, and we're actually querying the server directly, which, as you can tell, is way more responsive. But what is the, for me, what is the beta here, the world beta, if you like, here, is the fact that you can be involved in any activity on your machine. For me, it's mostly I might be either in Outlook or in Word producing some sort of a document or reading emails, and I get a lot of Teams notifications coming in, and I want to try and stay focused on the task I'm working on, but at the same time I want to make sure that I don't miss something super urgent. So being able to press a keystroke, never leave the application where I am, but actually get the information I need and be able to fire off a message straight afterwards to the person who just sent me the message is so powerful that I can't even explain to you how useful this has been to me, as well as the functionality of being able to tell you whether you've got any new email messages. Because sometimes when I pull away from my emails, it's with the express intention of making sure that I stay focused on trying to produce something, let's say in Word or Excel or anywhere else in the operating system. I might be trying to focus really hard, but I always get drawn back to my emails because I know that I may be needed at any given point, and I just want to make sure that I'm not missing anything. And just being able to press F1 followed by the letter O gives me the count of my emails that are unread. Which I can then use as a guide as to whether or not I've had many since I last left the Outlook, as well as the last message, just to know whether or not it's something I actually have to attend to then and there. And this feature, Teams Access, is somewhere where we see there being huge growth in our scripts. And that is where you guys come in, by being able to tell us what sorts of features would be really, really useful with this new sort of area, because this is actually quite a new area where we're sort of bypassing applications and actually, like I said, querying the server directly. So any questions on that?
Okay, sounds like it's a fantastic feature. It's a huge time saver, I think. So let's go over and see if we have any questions.
Just a couple of people saying they're sold. Kowal's come back again. You should advertise to the blind organisations that scripts are available on Teams, and basically saying you should give them a lovely discount.
Well, that's something we definitely should do, Kowal.
And my point is, maybe we should be selling this on your behalf as well and using our outreach.
Well, I mean, that's something we should definitely chat about after.
Yeah, definitely. Kelvin, would you like to give your contact details? I'm sure there'll be people after this call who want to get their hands on these things as soon as possible. I have people emailing me already looking for the documentation. So I just sent you an email about that. But if you could give the, how can people get hold of these?
Do you know what? And we were talking about that just prior to this call. And what we thought might be a good way of doing it is if you guys email info@blazy.co.uk I'm sure, Stuart, you wouldn't mind helping out if they can't remember that. But info@blazy.co.uk would be your first starting point. And then if we can, then we can, we'll handle your query that way. And if we need to, we can always contact you by phone or something like that.
Okay, so send an email. And if you can't get in touch, yeah, for whatever reason, get in touch with us.
And if you do want to give us a call, that's something that we really do invite. You know, you can call our office, which is on the numbers on the website, the blazy.co.uk website. We have people answering the phones. They always pass the messages through to us. And although we're quite busy, we'll always get back to you and take the time to have a call.
All right, absolutely brilliant. We all want to get our hands on these scripts, I think. Just final check, Carl, for any messages, hands raised, chats, or anyone who might want to make a comment. This is your last chance.
I was going to say, we're all good to go.
Okay. So, Ali, Neil, and Kelvin, thank you so much, guys. It's been a real pleasure having you on. I feel it's, and I certainly hope it's not going to be the last time. We'd like to do this again. You're a hugely talented group who are doing some really innovative things, and we greatly appreciate the fact that you've come to talk to us about it today. And let's look forward to ongoing collaborations on these scripts with Microsoft.
Thanks so much for the opportunity, Stuart. Thanks so much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, brilliant, guys. Welcome. Thank you very much.
Okay, so just before we end this session, I just want to mention our big Christmas quiz. This day, 2 weeks, a webinar Wednesday, we're going into a festive mood and we're running the big Christmas quiz. Six contestants will be playing against each other on our quiz, and we had an application process open. We asked people to register if they would like to be contestants, and Carl and I are too close to this to make a selection, because if we made a selection, we'd want everyone to join us, and that's not possible. So we asked our chief executive, Glenn Tookie, to draw out six names earlier today, and he did that. And the people who are joining us in 2 weeks' time are Lisa Redford, Mark Matthews, Julie Napier, Caroline Taves, Martin Rath, and Derry Lawler. So congratulations to you guys. We'll be in touch with you today or tomorrow to confirm that. And best of luck in the big Christmas quiz. Thanks to all our colleagues from Blazy. Thank you to all of you for joining us today. Stay safe and well. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time. And as always, thank you to Carl.